This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Despite the fact that there are no sporting events taking place due to the COVID pandemic, basketball fans have had plenty to talk about with the release of the ESPN documentary, The Last Dance. It follows the career of six-time NBA champion Michael Jordan, covering all the ups and downs of his career, including long battles against the Detroit Pistons and the very contentious relationship between Jordan and the Pistons' Isaiah Thomas. 3 decades later, the bad blood is still obvious. You remember the Pistons walking off the floor during the final seconds of the Bulls' victory over the Bad Boys in the 1991 Eastern Conference Championship? Here's Jordan talking about it.
Well, I know it's all bull. Whatever he says now, you know it wasn't his true actions then. You know, it's time enough to think about it. Or the reaction of the public that's kind of changed his perspective of it. You can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he wasn't that asshole.
And the beefs are flying fast and furious. Let's listen to a bit of Isaiah Thomas's response. He spoke recently with the ESPN show Get Up.
And I remember when we played Boston, and, you know, when Boston exited the floor, you know, for us, it was okay when Boston exited. It was okay when Larry Bird exited. We never looked back and said, oh, they were poor sports. They were bad champions.
Joining us for some armchair history and perspective is Detroit news writer Matt Schock. He's also host of the Pistons podcast, Locked on Pistons. Matt, welcome back to Stateside.
Yeah, thanks for having me, April. Appreciate it.
Hey, Matt, strictly on a fan level, what do you think of Last Dance overall?
Oh, it's been great. And for sports fans who have nothing else much to do these days, Sunday night has been appointment television, and I've enjoyed it. This is like my formative years coming up watching Jordan in the NBA and, of course, the Bad Boys, maybe before that in some levels. So, yeah, it's been outstanding.
It's so crazy. I mean, having lived post-LeBron all this time, to remember just what those Jordan years meant at the time, I don't think anybody thought we'd ever get that far away from him.
Yeah, and I think it, for people in their 20s, younger folks who weren't there for the Jordan era, they're maybe getting a new appreciation for him, especially compared to LeBron, like you said.
Unlike many rivalries, this business between the Pistons and the Bulls during the late 80s and the early 90s just has not seemed to die down. What do you think it is that keeps it going?
It's Michael Jordan, which keeps it going, because he does everything he can to keep this chip on his shoulder, even still 30 years after these things happen. And the people who have slighted Michael Jordan need to get vanquished by him in the media all these years later. And that's kind of how, what has fueled him. It's kind of a portrait of a psychopath in some ways. I mean, not to the extreme of some of the other documentaries we see out there during the pandemic. But Michael Jordan is as a unique figure in American culture for all the positive things he was celebrated for, and also some of the negative things that come along with his journey to the plateau that he got to. And unfortunately for the maybe the memory of the Pistons and the memory of the Bad Boys, to kind of denigrate that in some ways helps lift the icon of Jordan. And that's kind of what we're seeing these days.
Matt, what did you think of what Isaiah Thomas just put forward there right now? Walking off the floor before a game's conclusion. Was that at all very common in the NBA at the time?
The Celtics example, that was a very specific game where the Pistons had beaten Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals at the Silver Dome. So a difference being that when the Celtics, quote unquote, walked off, that was on the road, as opposed to when the Pistons walked off in 91 at the Palace of Auburn Hills. And Boston fans and the Celtics back then maybe would also tell you that it was kind of a safety situation, that the Silver Dome had a little bit lax security. So the players who were on the bench walked off in some reasons because of safety concerns. Now, I haven't heard Larry Bird weigh in these last couple of weeks, but it's just kind of strange that we're having these conversations 30 years later, that Isaiah Thomas didn't, and Bill Laimbeer and Mark Aguirre didn't shake those hands at the end of the series, which, you know, sportsmanship's important. We should teach our kids to be good sports. But in the context of historical NBA arguments, I just don't see why it's that important that we're having these kind of who did what and when discussions, given that we're having these macro conversations about legacy and who was better and all those kind of things.
You know, the dislike, I suppose I'm using the mild phrase, between yes. Jordan and Thomas is just so upfront in this. Was there more to the rivalry than this personal thing between Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah, and it was just it was because that Jordan had to get through the Pistons so the Bulls could get to the top of the NBA. But I think, well, as you watch this Jordan documentary, and I'm speaking here from a Pistons perspective, someone who's been studying this team really my whole life. Something that's kind of getting lost, particularly in this documentary, is that Isaiah Thomas is from the near west side of Chicago. So Isaiah Thomas was watching Michael Jordan live the life that he probably hoped that he would have. And of course, nobody feels bad for Isaiah Thomas. He had a great career and is mentioned as one of the top 15, 20 basketball players of all time, even today. But you have to keep in mind that while as great as Isaiah was accomplishing all these things, he wasn't living the life that Michael Jordan was living. You know, Isaiah grew up what is now about walking distance from the United Center. Now, the United Center was not built when he was growing up. They put it at the old Chicago Stadium. But just it's something to keep in mind that Michael Jordan, you know, grew up in North Carolina, came to Isaiah Thomas's city and became kind of the player that Isaiah probably wished that he would become.
Over the years, there have been unconfirmed reports that Jordan made sure to keep Isaiah Thomas off the 1992 U.S. Olympic men's basketball team, the Dream Team that everybody remembers so well. Isaiah was on the team in 1980, but he didn't compete because of a U.S. boycott. I mean, has any additional information come out in the ensuing years about those allegations?
Yeah, that's been kind of one of the hot topics of this week. And again, this is something that we're almost 30 years past at this point. But, you know, there was a Michael Wilbon, the ESPN reporter, said that he had talked to as many as 9 members of the Dream Team that corroborated they didn't want Isaiah on the team. But then when some evidence was presented to him after it aired this week, he recanted those statements and said that that was not true. Michael Jordan in the documentary said that there was never a hard and fast thing that he said, that he laid down the gauntlet and said that Isaiah can't be on the team. They referenced his rivalries with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson at the time. So it's this gray area that we're all kind of trying to figure out 30 years ago. But it was, you know, kind of sad to see Isaiah and how stricken he was by that. You can imagine that this is a historic team that they put together, and he obviously deserved to be on it and wasn't put on. So it was, there was kind of a touching moment to see him kind of upset about that even decades later.
You know, since The Last Dance came out on stream, we've seen some articles detailing actions Isaiah Thomas has taken since retiring as a player. What jumped out at you?
Yeah, there is a lot of good stuff out there. And the thing about Isaiah, the thing that jumps out is his reputation is not great nationally in terms of his post-basketball career. He had failures as the commissioner of the CBA. He had a bad run as the president of the Toronto Raptors when they started their team, and then had an unsuccessful run as a front office with the New York Knicks as well, which also had some sexual harassment allegations involved too. But there's also a lot of good that he's done in terms of social justice movements, the LGBTQ movement as well. He's done a lot of great things out there, and some of those things are getting detailed. And it's interesting to see, you know, Pistons fans kind of rally around their guy. Keep in mind, this is the greatest Piston of all time. So fans are kind of rallying around Zeke. And the Jordan folks are kind of on the other side as well. So it's interesting watching everyone litigate this stuff decades later and kind of rushing to their corners to defend their guys.
Matt Schock of the Detroit News. You can also read him at playmichigan.com or hear him on the daily Locked on Pistons podcast. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fun watching. I'm almost ready for another helping already.
Yeah, 2 more episodes. We'll see how it goes. Thanks, April. Appreciate it.